What did you think about the win for Alabama this Saturday? Were you surprised?
Wow. I'm going to say that backwards, Nick. Wow. What a game by Alabama and the Crimson Tide. If anybody tells you they were not surprised, they are not telling the truth, and they need to come visit for a little confessional. But Mick, it was an absolutely amazing game. I heard you say just a few moments ago that it's the most dominating game Alabama played. I don't know how good Texas A&M is, but it was the most complete game I have seen as a fan of Alabama football, period.
Martin Houston was on the 1992 national championship team, and that was with Coach Gene Stallings. He won a championship. He's got a statue. Nick Saban, he won three. He's got a statue. And he was pretty upset with Alabama's fan base. He made that point, said he was pissed off. Those are his words in his Monday press conference. And the team played like they had maybe a little chip on their shoulder Saturday.
Well, you know, I don't think he had a right to be pissed off at the fans for being disappointed in what we saw against Arkansas. Now, for us not being excited that we got a win, yes. But I was very, very disappointed, Mick, in what I saw as a product on the field against Arkansas. We looked bad. We looked poorly coached. We looked poorly engaged. All of those things, a lot of negatives on every phase of the game. But I will say this. Coach Saban is a very smart man, and he knows when to chew his players and when to get their back. And I think he went to, hey, no, I'm in your corner, guys, last week, and I'm going to get all these other people off you, but you got to respond if I stick my neck out. And that's what happened. Coach Saban went to bat for his guys and called us to task as fans. And I understand that, but the reality of it is, Nick, we did look poor against Arkansas. We made fumbles. We didn't execute on basic, you know, quarterback sneaks and third down and shorts. And our special teams was porous, and our defense was breaking coverages. But you talk about a turnaround. I think they fixed each and every one of those areas. And what I noticed most of all, Nick, was that team looked like they had fun. And that's like the first time I've seen a Nick Saban team have fun in a long time.
The very beginning of that football game, there was a play where Blake Sims threw what should have been a pick six. I mean, Alabama was in the red zone, and it was dropped, and then they end up kicking a field goal. Adam Griffith hit the field goal, and you know, the very beginning of the ball game. Do you feel like if that would have turned into a touchdown the other way, that this game would have been different? Could it have been different? I mean, you look at a 59-0 score, but that would certainly have changed the entire events that led to this football game going down.
Oh, I definitely think it would have changed it. I don't know that we would not have still won the game, but I think that it would have been much closer. One of the things I shared with Chris on last week was that if we can get out on a lead against A&M, then our defense will be able to focus on that pass, and they will take away their ability to run, and I think we can dominate. And I didn't know if we'd be able to do that, but being that he dropped that pass, gave us a chance to score, didn't put pressure on the defense to have to stop them and offense to have to come from behind, and it just kind of snowballed. I was disappointed for Kevin Sumlin. After the three consecutive beatdowns that A&M had, they quit in that game. And it was, wow. You remember Auburn a couple of years ago when they were 3-8? That's what I felt was happening as that game progressed. And, you know, you see your quarterback. I don't know if you've even seen the highlights, but the quarterback's on the sideline trying to get some momentum going, get some excitement going, yelling, and all the players are just walking away, not even engaging. And that's what we saw a few years back with Auburn.
No penalties in the entire game for Alabama. They had under 70 yards rushing last week against Arkansas. They ran 45 times for 298 yards, 6-plus yards, 6.6 yards to be exact, per carry. Those two areas for this team make the difference between them winning and losing. Is that a fair statement?
That is not just a fair statement. I think it's a very accurate statement, and it's the first time this year we have seen that offensive line come out and just play smash-mouth ball. I don't know if they changed philosophies or if it was just simply the challenge from Cristobal and Saban that offensive line came out, because as good as our running backs ran, they weren't getting hit until they were making that move 4 or 5 yards down the field. And T.J. Yeldon and Derrick Henry on a linebacker in open space or a DB in open field is just not fair. And without a doubt. And then just the lack of penalties and always being ahead of the chain, Nick. Your playbook stays open. In other words, you don't get predictable. You still have access to your run game, your pass game, the quick screens, and of course you always have access to the deep ball, but you call it when you want to, not because you have to, because you're behind the chain on second and third down.
Well, you look at the Florida game, and Will Muschamp might have gotten fired unofficially after that loss to Missouri, but there were a lot of turnovers, and they cost Florida points. And so, you know, they were blown out, but it wasn't like the offense just went up and down the field. This Alabama game, I mean, basically Alabama just went up and down the field. Texas A&M turned the ball over one time.
Yeah, Mick, I don't know this. I am convinced that Blake Sims' shoulder was much worse than we thought after the Florida game. One of two things. I'm not about to start any controversy and say Saban limited Kiffin, because I don't think that's what happened. Two things happened from Ole Miss and Arkansas. I think, first of all, Blake Sims' shoulder was hurt, because we just didn't use the quick pass to Amari. Everybody's saying, well, we couldn't get it out there. Yes, you could have. At least attempt it, so that even if you don't gain any yards, Mick, you throw it out there so that they start cheating up and then you can get deep.
Right.
We didn't even try it. And number two is that Kenyon Drake was a much bigger part of the creativity aspect of our offense.
Yeah.
Than any of us even imagine. What we had the other night, you can't tell me we're going to call that different of a game on the road than we do at home. So I think those two things came into play. So what happened Saturday was Blake Sims was healthier, number one. He was able to get those quick passes. He could get that shoulder up, back, and that ball out. And we added Yeldon in some of those formations where we had Drake before. And it just opens the offense back up and doesn't allow you to stack the box or allow you to stack coverage against Amari Cooper. And I don't know if you noticed, we went to two tight ends. I liked it. Old school kind of reminded me. You know, I'm sitting there, a fullback and two tight ends. I'm thinking football heaven has returned.
Well, and the other part, too, and you mentioned Sims and the shoulder that was injured in the Florida game. He had three touchdowns, no interceptions, 268 yards passing, 16 to 27, threw a lot of short passes, but also connected on some deep balls. But what I want to say, though, is even looking at those throwing numbers, what Alabama did different this week than they have in games past, or at least it was effective this week, was allowing him to run. And that's a weapon that in that Ole Miss game, you know, sometimes you felt like, well, here's a guy that has this ability to run. Why isn't he taking advantage of that? Four carries, 54 yards. He had that incredible 43-yard touchdown last game. But that changes the way that you can defend him, because you have to bring that extra guy up just in case he goes. Somebody's got to watch him. And I think that's what makes guys like him and T. Martin, who won a national championship, was from Mobile, played at Tennessee. That's what those guys can do. They can throw, they can do all the other stuff, but they can run, and you have to defend that.
Yeah, that dual threat is so key to forcing the hand of the defense. And that's why I'm telling you, it's not just passing that was affected in the Ole Miss game, in Arkansas game. It was his ability to run. He could not take a lick on that shoulder. Because you go back and look in a couple plays in the Ole Miss game and in the Arkansas game, where he normally would have taken off and ran for extra yards and kept guys alive, he dove. He went on the ground. He went down. And that, you know, extending drives is the key, to being able to get in a flow in terms of an offense. And when we lose that aspect of Blake Sims, to me, I would never drop him straight back. I roll him out. I read option. And dude, I think we're going to see the more creativity come from his legs to extend and expand our passing game.
This week, Alabama plays Tennessee. I don't know why, but this series, which to me is of the entire SEC, it goes back about as far as you can go back. Alabama and Tennessee, one of the great rivalries, one of the games that no matter how you divide the conference teams-wise, you always want to keep this together. But I don't know why it always seems like one team's dominating and then the other team hasn't won in a long time. And then it makes you say this. You know, when Philip Fulmer was coach, there came a point where Alabama had lost like seven in a row, eight in a row, and you say, hey, is this still a rivalry? Well, Nick Saban's been able to dominate Tennessee. They've won so many in a row, and a lot of them haven't been close. So I ask you this. You think this still is a rivalry? And is any of the luster missing?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a rivalry. The game may not be as important nationally and impacting the race, but the border state, I don't know why it is such a big rivalry. Even when I was there, Mick, it was like Tennessee week, baby, and everybody got amped up, everybody got ready to play because it was a big rivalry. And we were in the midst of one of those 10-game no-lose streak on our side. But it didn't dampen our spirits any when we got ready to play them, even though we had won two, three in a row. Four in a row, we still wanted to beat Tennessee. And, of course, Tennessee still wanted to beat us. And I think it's just because of it's the border state. It's the longest existing rivalry. And because you have the streakiness. You know, you're always chasing and trying to end that streak. Now, how to explain how, no matter how good one of the teams are, that whenever it's a streak going on, the lesser team can find a way to win. I can't figure that out. But I'm hoping the lesser team doesn't find out a way to win this Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt. Last question. You keep hearing this, and I remember when Alabama was before Nick Saban was head coach, but they kept saying, well, Alabama, they're going to beat someone because they had a lot of moral victories. They had a lot of close losses, and then it seemed like every time they'd have a close loss, they come back and, you know, maybe lose to LSU in overtime and then they get blown out in Auburn, you know, but they're going to beat someone. You know, that's the thing you hear. That's what people say about Butch Jones and his Tennessee team. Like, oh, they're going to beat someone. You know, they had a close loss at Georgia. They get shellacked against Ole Miss, but they're going to beat someone. Could that be Alabama this week? As bad as Alabama's looked on the road and Tennessee being a team that has risen to the occasion to make some interesting losses lately, or do you not buy into that?
I don't buy into it with this weekend. I think if we play like we played against Arkansas, I still think we can win the game because Tennessee has zero offense. That's their problem. If we play bad, that defense at Tennessee is active enough and good enough to keep it close. You know, even against Ole Miss for the first quarter and 10 minutes, it was 3-0 Tennessee. It's hard to believe the way that game ended up. Right. But they just have such young talent, Mick. And in college football, there's two things to me that makes the difference: confidence and experience. And Tennessee doesn't have either one of those. You're so young. Now I'm telling you, you look at that team, and 3 years from now, I think they're going to be a beast in the East. But right now, I just think they don't have the confidence to hold down in Alabama. They don't have the athletes to hold down in Alabama, and they don't have the experience to stay in the game, even if they have some success early, which I would not be surprised either way if we just come out and blow them out or if they come out and get a little success early, because their defense played some good ball the last few weeks. They just have no offense to back them up.
They might not think it's a rivalry here, maybe some fans, but up there with Lane Kiffin as the offensive coordinator for Alabama, they're waiting on the tide to come to town, and I'm sure they're going to want this to be that game that everyone's kind of talked about. They're going to beat someone. Martin, what is it like to wear that Alabama uniform, to put that white jersey on with the crimson numbers, and run out of the locker room at Neyland Stadium across the checkerboard on that, which what I feel like is one of the truly great facilities historically in college football?
Well, Mick, first of all, I appreciate you asking me that question, because Tennessee kind of holds that special place for me, because I got to travel as a redshirt freshman one game, and it was to Tennessee. Kevin Turner, our dear friend who's fighting ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and wish him well. That's the one game he didn't dress in my entire four-year career, but he didn't, and I got to dress. And I'm telling you, now, understand what I'm telling you, Mick. The last time I had been in a live stadium event was in Cherokee County, where our city has 2,000 people. Okay, yeah. And I ran out, and it was 100,000 plus raving fans. It was absolutely breathtaking that first time, and you know, to be doing it with that crimson jersey on, and I can't tell you what that means. To me, it's the pinnacle of sports for a kid growing up in Alabama, was to run out for the Crimson Tide. And then to do it the first time ever at Neyland Stadium was absolutely amazing. I think we had probably 10, 15,000 fans there. And the sweetest part of that day was, by the end of the day, the 90-plus thousand was quiet, and all you could hear was a few thousand, 10, 15,000 fans yelling Roll Tide. So what a memory, what a day, and still bring chills back when I think back to that moment.
Yeah, that's this Saturday, what they said, 6:30 kickoff Central Time, and you can hear it right here on 99.1. Martin, how is the insurance business right now?
Oh, man, it is going great. I had the opportunity to work for Alpha Insurance, kind of a tradition like the University of Alabama. Been here serving the fine folks of Alabama and surrounding states for 60-plus years, and I'm glad to be a part of that team. My office is located over in Northport at 1211 Lurley Wallace Boulevard. I would love the opportunity to help you insure, you know, your property, your personal possessions, and especially right now I got a big focus on helping people get life insurance and protect the ones they love